morning. This is the Advisor Pack monthly session. This is Mark Little. We've been getting a steady flow of questions throughout the month, so we've been keeping up with them. So if you submitted a question, we responded to you directly. But I did handpick a few questions that I thought were relevant for everyone. So let's get right to it. Just a reminder that, and I always do this at every webinar, the whole point of what we're doing here, the point of the Advisor Pack monthly program is you're making a pledge to each and every one of your clients, an advisor pact with each client. And in essence, you are promising, because pact is an acronym, you're promising to provide four things that clients claim they can't find anywhere. So we've done a lot of work on this. I've spent 30 years in the industry. I've spent the last 10 years really dialing in the research on specifically what is it that clients are looking for in their relationship with a financial advisor. Well, we're not saying that every client is looking for these four things, but the more successful, the more affluent the client, the more they're looking for these four things. And what was intriguing about the research, and of course, I implemented this myself, and it took me a few years after I implemented this to really understand what it was that made what I was doing so different from what other financial advisors were doing, at least in the minds of the clients. Well, these are the thing; these are what we call the four client expectations. And it's a client who basically is values somebody who's got their back, who's protecting their financial assets, their financial strategy, will step up and hold everyone accountable, including the client themselves, to what the client claims they want. So you're stepping up to be the protector. And attention. So it's for the client who answers the question, you know, what's it worth to have somebody on your team step up and pay attention and notice when you're drifting off track so that we can recommend specific things to get you back on track. That's attention, paying attention. And then coordination, every client has financial people in their life before you come along, tax accountant. You know, it could be an estate planning lawyer, certainly insurance agents, whatever. But, you know, this is a client who answers the question, what's it worth to you to have somebody on your financial team actually step up and proactively coordinate all the people on the team to, in essence, make sure that the recommendations that they're making are perfectly aligned with some sort of overarching strategy. And then finally, transparency. This was a big complaint, not with every client, but with a lot of affluent clients, that they complained that there were enough hidden fees in the financial services industry. They weren't 100% sure what they're paying the financial people or for the financial products and services that they have. So this is your pledge to every client to make sure that there's full transparency and that every one of your clients does not have that problem. They understand what they're paying. So these are the four aspects of the Advisor Pact monthly program. And it's, you know, as I say, not every client's looking for this, but there are millions of multimillionaires out there seeking a financial advisor who's able and willing to deliver on all four of these things. Okay, I want to make an announcement. This is the first time I've announced this. I will be delivering a new webinar for this program. It's specifically for the Advisor Pack monthly program for advisors who are wanting to accelerate your results. So been talking to a few members of the Advisor Pack monthly program, and I've identified a few, I'm going to say, issues that seem to be fairly consistent among Advisor Pack monthly members. So I'm going to do a webinar where I walk through literally what it takes to succeed in this program. So I'm at the end of today's session. Remind me, and I will provide you with a link to the to register for this webinar. So, what is it? Well, it's a bird's eye view of this program. For one thing, it's an overview, but it's designed for financial advisors in order to remain focused on the big picture, one of the things I noticed with a few members of the Advisor Pack Monthly program is they kind of lose sight of the big picture. And that's going to happen in any process that's somewhat complex. And look, putting in place the Advisor Pack Monthly, the pieces of the puzzle, as we give you the projects each month and you begin implementing this system, it's not overwhelming because you're putting it in place one step at a time. However, it is complex and it is easy to lose sight of the big picture. So in this webinar, I'm going to explain the greatest benefits of implementing this program. Matter of fact, I'm going to describe the greatest benefits of this program in three words. So I'm going to lay out the team goal that's required for you to achieve the best outcome in this program. And I'm going to be brutally honest about what works and what does not work for financial advisors in this program. And at the end of the webinar, I'm going to end it all with five of my best pieces of advice for staying on track in this program. So advisors who want to see their investment in the Advisor Pack Monthly program pay off exponentially, you will attend this webinar. So just by following my five simple recommendations at the end of the webinar, you're guaranteed to see substantial results in this program. And I would go the other way too. I would say those who don't follow my five simple recommendations at the end of this webinar are very unlikely to ever see any results from this program. And oh, by the way, what are the three words that describe the greatest benefit of implementing the Advisor Pack Monthly program? Well, that's easy. Unsolicited client referrals. You know, that is the biggest benefit, in my opinion, of this program. It'll be seeing a consistent increase in the number of client referrals overall, but specifically unsolicited client referrals. Those are the referrals that come in without you asking any client to provide them. Just the phone rings and it's somebody wanting to sit down and talk business with you because one of your clients insisted that they call you. So I'm going to give you the link to this and remind me at the end. I'm going to send out an email about this. So if you miss the link to register for this webinar, just look for an email. I'm going to send it out sometime this week. Okay, of the handpicked questions that I selected this month that I thought would be useful, and oh, by the way, if you want live coaching, that is one of the great benefits of this program, that if you've got an issue that you're working on, if you've got an issue that is that you're struggling with, maybe you just need direction on something, or perhaps you're brainstorming a couple of different options of ways to approach something that you're implementing. Or maybe you've got a client issue. And of course, at some point, you'll have a staff issue. So anything, whatever your question, if you want live coaching from me right here, right now, then look on your webinar panel and look for a place to enter your questions and answers. And either enter your question, just type it in and I'll answer it. But if you want live coaching, just type into the Q&A, I've got a question I'd like to ask you. And don't ask it in the Q&A box. Just say that you've got a question. And then we'll go live. You'll have to have a microphone so I can hear you at the very least. If you've got a video cam, that's great too. But mainly a microphone so I can hear your question. And then let's talk it out. But in the meantime, let's go through the questions that I've selected for today. Now, last month, or it might have been 2 months ago, we had this question: is the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy different from the GPS deliverable? I'm going to go into these terms a little bit more in a minute. If this is totally confusing to you, don't worry, I'm going to unpack this. And then the question was, if so, how is it different, and do you have a template example for these? Okay. I answered the question. So I answered the specific question, but in my answer, I offered that if you wanted more information on specifically the comprehensive written lifetime financial plan strategy, then, you know, let me know. And that was the most common question I got over the last 30 days. It was, Yes, Mark, give me more details about this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. What is it? Can you give me a template? Can you walk me through it? So let's do it. Let's do that today. Let's talk about both of these terms, the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy and the GPS. I'm going to give you examples of these or show you a template for creating these. Okay, and where are these covered in the Advisor Pack monthly program? Well, the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is actually discussed throughout the program, but it is introduced in the essentials of Advisor Pack. So everybody in this program, including you, has access to this lesson, this course called The Essential Concepts of Advisor Pact. And we never take this one away from you. So we've talked to advisors who have requested that we never take this one away because many advisors in this program actually go through this course a couple of times a year just as a refresher. So that's where this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, which is and nothing more than the overarching plan, is where this term is introduced and described to some extent. And then the GPS, which stands for the Greatest Probability Strategy, it's a step-by-step implementation plan of action. This is actually a deliverable among the 10 client deliverables. And you may not have received these modules yet, but there are two modules, the 10 client deliverables, course one of two and course two of two. So we just walked through the 10 client deliverables that represent truly comprehensive financial services. As a matter of fact, the 10 client deliverables are the definition of truly comprehensive financial services. And that's a term that's never been adequately defined in our industry either. So we've defined it. And what it is a client who receives the 10 client deliverables each and every year. In other words, you check them off a checklist and check off all 10 for a given client. Once you've checked off all 10, then that represents truly comprehensive financial services. Okay? But the GPS is one of the 10, all right? So let me just kind of walk through it. Before we discuss the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, which, as I said, is the overarching plan, let's first discuss the term financial plan. I think the key takeaway is that the term financial plan has no meaning, or maybe better said, it means different things to different people. It's kind of, I know it's a common term in our industry, and I know there are certified financial planners, but when you go through and you look for like an example of a well-designed or well-structured financial plan, you'll have a hard time finding it. Our team has never found a definitive template for a financial plan, a well-structured financial plan, not from the College for Financial Planning or anything. There is a template for the quote-unquote the financial planning process, and that's mainly what the CFP program is all about. It describes, in essence, a comprehensive financial services process, and it's called the financial planning process. But what the question is more specific, like what is a financial plan? Like what is it that we're putting together? What does it look like? What are the components of it? That is more of a marketing term because a template does not really exist. So, therefore, I never use the term financial plan, and I don't. You'll typically not see it in my systems or programs. I think a better way to say it is if I ever use the term financial plan, if you see that term anywhere in my program, it's just simply to give you a frame of reference that I think you'll understand when I'm talking about a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. So, since financial plan is more of a marketing term, it means different things to different people. More to the point, in our program, when you say financial plan to a client, they have something in their mind. The problem is what they have in their mind and what you have in your mind are almost always two different things. This is what we did research on. This is what we studied to identify this problem. Okay, so financial plan has no meaning as a term, so we teach a different concept. We teach that the trusted advisor's job is to ensure that every single client has, and here's the term, a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Okay, so you want to think of it in your mind as financial plan? I just strongly encourage you not to use the term financial plan with a client. A big part of our program is being clear with clients, communicating with them clearly. And when you say terms like comprehensive financial services or financial plan, things like that, or wealth management, these are all marketing terms that mean different things in the client's mind than they do in your mind. So many years ago, I started using the term with clients, you know, comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Every client needs, should have, every affluent client, successful affluent client should have a plan. I'm going to call it a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. And I think every word in that phrase is critical to defining what it is you're doing. It's comprehensive, therefore it's not narrow. It's not just like most financial advisors in a client's mind deal with money management. You ask the average client, you know, what's the difference between financial advisors? The typical response in our research is not much. You know, they manage your investments. So it's all about investment advice. So comprehensive is important because it brings in all other aspects of clients' personal financial affairs, tax and estate planning and insurance and all the other things, not just money management. So comprehensive is important. Written is important because it implies to the client that there is something in writing. It's not just in your head. And that's what many financial advisors in our research report back to us when we say financial plan. Do you have a financial plan for every client? Yes, we put something together at the beginning and then the rest of it's just in our head. We have a process. Okay, well, this strategy is written. Lifetime means we're not just going to cover the period of this year. We're not going to just cover the period of just your goals. We're going to look at your entire lifetime. We're going to take the approach that we assume that one of your goals is to not only accomplish your goals, but one of your goals is to never run out of money. So, you know, it's a lifetime, and then financial. We're going to focus on financial assets, not your Not the other aspects of your life that you're struggling with, like, you know, coaching you in your career and all that sort of thing. But it's going to be it's not a career strategy or anything like that. It's a financial strategy. It's around the financial assets in your life and the financial goals in your life, financial objectives, and it's a strategy. So we're going to so as opposed to strategies and tactics. So we're going to do strategies and tactics, but the point is we're going to have a written strategy. All right, so that's where the term comes from. That's what it means. So let me just walk through the difference in the Advisor Pack deliverables team structure. So in most clients, before they meet you, the traditional deliverables team structure is the client has people in their life, tax, money management, financial planning, estate planning, insurance, but the client themselves feel like when they think of advisor pact, you know, if they think of those phrases like who's protecting me, who's paying attention, who's coordinating, who's responsible for weeding out the transparency of the fees and all that. Well, it's the client. They typically say, it's me. So you ask a client point blank, who's responsible for creating a strategy? Who's responsible for making sure that all the recommendations from these five professionals or however many professionals the client has in their life on their financial team, who's responsible for making sure that that those recommendations are in alignment with the overarching strategy? How do you know you're on track? And who's... You know, and then the pact, who's protecting you, who's paying attention, who's coordinating you, and who's weeding out all the hidden fees. The client will always say, I'm doing that, I guess. They almost never name a person on their financial team whose job it is to do those things. So that's where you come in. See, you right in the middle is the trusted advisor. That's what makes this system in this program unique. You become the single simple point of contact for the client. for all these financial professionals in their lives. You've got a team that you're going to build. Those are the strategy people, the people in charge of creating the lifetime strategy. And then the client may have these same, some of these same financial people in their life, even after you are working with them. For example, they may have a tax accountant that they've worked for 20 or 30, worked with successfully for 20 or 30 years. And they're technically competent. They're excellent technically. The problem is they're not willing to step up and create an overarching strategy, coordinate with the others on the team, you know, the advisor pact part of it. Nobody on their team in all those years, like let's say they have an estate planning attorney that's really excellent at estate planning, except for the fact they have no interest in the overarching strategy. They're not going to coordinate with other people on the team to see, even when there are obvious crossover issues. So that's where your role is so important in this program. You're going to enforce all of that. You're going to make sure there's an overarching strategy in place, and you're going to make sure that this team coordinates with each other on obvious crossover issues to make sure that every recommendation out of their mouths comes through you first before the client sees it. And there's a process in place to make sure that the client only receives recommendations that are perfectly aligned with the comprehensive written lifetime overarching strategy, okay? Lifetime strategy. So, all right. So what is it? So since we use that term in lieu of financial plan, and in our system, all five subject matter experts are involved, then we use those five subject matter experts to in essence, dive deep into the client's financial documents and financial objectives and have each of the five subject matter experts create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. So imagine that. You've got, you know, the people we just showed you on the team. So you've got a financial planning subject matter expert. You've got a money management subject matter expert. You've got tax, estate planning, insurance. You've got five subject matter experts. And what if you were to look them each in the eye and say, look, we have a brand new ideal client. I've got all their documents. I will provide you with everything. And listen, team, you've got a little bit over a quarter of a year to create each of you, each of you needs to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, but for your narrow field of finance, okay? So for I want each of the five areas to have a strategy, a written strategy. So I don't provide a sample for this, so let me lay out the template for you of how this works. And since your team is comprised of highly skilled subject matter experts, I mean, we have an entire course on this. It's called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. And what that is a 12-step process to fill each of these five vacancies, each of them to be filled in less than 60 days. So you're getting a new subject matter expert onto your team every 60 days or less. And the point is that each of them are highly skilled. That's the whole point of our 12-step recruitment process, is to make sure that you never invite anyone onto your team who's not highly skilled. And guess what? One of the great things about our system is we're not shoving a process down their throat other than the three-meeting process. More on that in a minute. But as far as what software they use, what process they use to create this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy within their narrow field of finance, they can keep using their same software they've always used. You know, you've brought in skilled subject matter experts who have their own processes, their own way of doing things, and we're not going to micromanage them. They're going to like that. They're going to like the fact that they can continue doing things the way that they do things, and they're going to like the fact that you're inviting them onto your team because, in part, that they've got a really robust process, and you don't want them to change that. So here's the guidance that I do provide for the creation of a proper, comprehensive, written lifetime financial strategy. So here's the three-meeting process, and I'll just kind of go through this with you briefly. There's an initial client interview. So that's the meeting where it's a fork in the road. Either they become a client or they don't. So I call this lead conversion. This initial client interview is the lead conversion process. So you've generated leads to potential clients, and now this initial client interview is where you actually sit down in your office and describe, you know, you basically, this is the process where you convert just a potential client lead into an actual paying client. So in some ways, this first meeting doesn't count because it's not part of what we're teaching in this program. You've got to have your own compelling initial client interview. And I call this the lead conversion process. But you know what? It's on the three-meeting process because that's the starting point. That's like the checkered flag comes down and go. Now they're a client. It's that fork in the road where they're offered to either become a client or you choose not to invite them as a client, and that decision is made. And if they do choose to move forward and they become a member of your client community, then here's the process. So there's three meetings in what we call the one-time meetings. So there's a time frame over here to the left. So you have 14 days between the initial client interview and the implementation meeting. And the implementation meetings where whatever client documents you don't have, that purpose of that implementation meeting is to get whatever's missing. So you've got two weeks to coordinate with the client. They come in for the implementation meeting, and if there's any paperwork they need to sign to memorialize or finish their agreement to hire you, that is handled at the implementation meeting, as well as they bring in all their documents. So you've got 2 weeks to coordinate with the client, let them know what they have not yet brought in to you and what you still need to do your job, for your team to do their job. And you have the implementation meeting 2 weeks or less after the initial client interview. Then 40 days after you've got all their paperwork and they've signed all the agreements, they're now officially clients, your team begins work. So this is kind of the starting point for your team. So now they have everything they need to do their work. It starts at the implementation meeting. 45 days later, there's an initial progress update meeting. This is really, on my team, this initial progress update is when 80% or more of the financial strategy is completed. So this thing that we call a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, it's pretty much done after 45 days. So then, you know, you have that meeting, you give the client the initial progress update, you let them know what your team has recommended for them at that point, and it should be a ton after 45 days, but we still give another 45 days to the process. And what we've learned in the last 20 years, I've learned kind of bickering with my own team, you know, why do you need this extra 45 days? Well, it's kind of works like this, at least on my team. They need the first 45 days to create the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, and they use that second 45 days to finalize the strategy after the client has seen it. And sometimes the client, you know, needs to set us straight on a few things. Maybe we misinterpreted it about their objectives or whatever. But the point is that second 45-day period is when your team really dives deep into the client's financial life. So they may have created the strategy based on a significant review of their financial documents, but it's this second 45-day period where they really do a deep dive. For example, the financial planner in this final 45 days is now actually reading all the plan documents for their employee benefits and seeing what all the features and benefits and everything are of all the employee benefits. And, you know, estate planning lawyer, if they have not read every sentence of the wills and trusts and powers of attorney, they do this in this final 45 days. The insurance subject matter expert literally reads every insurance policy declarations page. If there are features to the policy or limitations, the second 45 days is where notes are made on all of that. If there's opportunities, let's say on life insurance, to pick up additional life insurance at a certain point and dates in the future, or if there's waiting periods, all that sort of thing, all of that is read and dialed in that final 45 days. You get the idea. There's just the final stages. So the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is completed prior to this point, 104 days. That's 90 days, two 45-day periods, and then plus that original 14 days in between those meetings, that's 104 days. Just think of it as a little bit over 90, quarter of a year. And then you, as the trusted advisor, look at this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that your team has submitted to you, and you bless it and approve it, and then you release the client into what I call the routine three-meeting process, of which the first meeting is the comprehensive safety review, then the goal progress outlook, then the annual review, and then you're back to the comprehensive. It's kind of a cycle at that point where you just, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, and you do that for the entire remainder of your relationship with the client. You meet with the client every 4 months, and there's an agenda for each meeting. And your team, subject matter experts, the only change to their process is this timetable. They've got to get these things done by these target dates, and they've got to acknowledge and understand that you, unlike anybody else in your client's financial life, probably, you are the one who are meeting with the client and sitting down with them face-to-face every 4 months. And so this is an opportunity for every subject matter expert to actually coordinate with you and, you know, make sure that, you know, that they've got everything they need from the client, because you're going to see them every 4 months and you could retrieve documents if they need them from the client, or if they need things signed and so forth. You've actually got a physical meeting scheduled. But mainly it's to deliver an extraordinary meeting experience where you are displaying it every 4 months. You're in essence confirming that the client is in fact on track, and you're in essence going through the entire strategy, but mainly just the recommendations of what it's going to take to get on track and stay on track. So the starting point, the five plans that comprise the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, these are the components. So it's a merger of all these five things. There's a customized tax plan created by the tax planning subject matter expert. These are all the strategies and tactics developed for this particular client by your tax planning subject matter expert that you've invited onto your team. And you give very loose guidance. You say, I just want every strategy and tactic for the rest of this client's life. I want a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, you know, combining all the strategies and tactics that you think are required for this client to remain on track. And a customized estate plan. These are the strategies and tactics for this client created by the estate planning subject matter expert. Customized money management plan, customized safety plan. These are the strategies and tactics put together by your insurance subject matter expert. And then finally, a customized financial plan. That's wrapped around all of the above. And generally, the financial planner likes to be in very close contact with the other four. You know, let's face it, the financial planner, because their financial plan touches all of these areas, the financial planner, if you recruit them properly, is a leader type and is a team leader, is pretty much the team leader, and will provide the strategies and tactics developed for this client, mainly focused on the goals, like target dates that are, you know, it's establishing a plan to accomplish the client goals by the dates that the client has said they want to accomplish their goals. So the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is literally just these five documents that you're going to require of each of your five subject matter experts. And that's it. So this is the punch list. All the five plans that I just mentioned, you know, just so you have a little checklist here of what is a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. This is the guidance that I always tell financial advisors. This is what we've always done for my own clients. So this is the model for a typical multimillionaire to make sure that everything is well organized and to exceed their expectations. So you have all those five plans that I just described, plus a lifetime capital projection. Now, this is coordinated by the financial planning subject matter expert, and it's literally, it's like a schedule or a spreadsheet. It's for every year of their life, starting in the current year, showing inflows and outflows of money, plus their beginning and ending year balance of all their financial assets. And it, in essence, shows money coming in, money going out, for their financial objectives, for their regular income from their jobs or their businesses or whatever. So you have a lifetime capital projection just so you've got some evidence that your team has gone through a process to persuade yourselves internally that this client has a high probability of being able to accomplish all the objectives that they have in mind and never run out of money. So it's for your own team's satisfaction to make sure that as professionals, everybody on the team agrees that this client has the greatest probability of accomplishing everything they've got in mind. In addition to that, we always recommend as a part of the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that you have a cash reserves plan, in other words, a cash reserve strategy and a target amount to tell the client you need X amount for cash reserves. I leave it to you to define that term, cash reserves, you and your team. For me, it's, you know, if there was a horrible emergency, what's the contingency fund and for what? So we fund it with, you know, a few months living expenses as well as all the deductibles from all the insurance policies and waiting periods and everything. We try to envision kind of a worst case scenario, maybe not worst, but, you know, kind of a reasonable worst case scenario and just say, okay, then that's what we're going to establish as a cash reserves target. So here's the amount and here's the strategy to get. The strategy is here's how we're going to get it there and keep it there. Okay, so you've got to have a plan for the client. If they don't already have cash reserves, it usually falls in one of two categories. Client who has not enough cash reserves, where in that case you need to put together a plan to get the cash reserves to the target amount and keep it there. And then you've got to have for the type of client, the other type of client is they've already got tons of cash, too much cash. Like it's just kind of accumulating. They don't even pay attention to it. Just tons of cash. It's how to pare it down. It's a plan to pare it down, but get it to that target amount and keep it there. So maybe it's a business owner that has more money, vast amounts of money coming in that never get put to work. And so you've got a plan for that. So that's the cash reserves plan. And then likewise, not every client has debt, but many do. And so you need to have a debt plan. So you can, I'll let you and your team decide what the objective is. For me, I tell the client, you know, I just tell them I'm approaching this from the standpoint I'd like to see you at a point in your life when you have zero debt, even from the business, from the you know, no mortgages, nothing like that. I just want to see when that is going to. It could be at in their 90s or whatever. We kind of, that's the part that's negotiable. But for me, I like to see a debt plan where there is a point in their life where there is zero debt. But whatever the case, whatever your team decides for that, a debt plan, which is a schedule, and a schedule means that you can tell at each client progress meeting whether the client's on track or off track to that schedule, and you tell them. And then finally, an assumptions page. This is something that, I don't know, I've worked with hundreds of financial advisors. I have never seen an adequate assumptions page, but in essence, it's each of the five subject matter experts plus you as a trusted advisor. All six of you come up with an assumptions page of, you know, if each of the five of them have a comprehensive right lifetime financial strategy for each of their narrow fields of finance, then each of them has an assumptions page saying, here's what I'm assuming. You know, the money manager may be assuming, saying, for example, I'm assuming X rate of return, I'm X amount from capital gains, X amount from dividends or interest, I'm assuming inflation at a certain rate. You know, the financial planner is certainly going to have that on their assumptions page. You know, the insurance subject matter expert may put on their assumptions page, I'm assuming that there are money sitting aside in a cash reserve to cover deductibles if there's ever the need to trigger any of these policies. Anyway, an assumptions page. And then all five of these together, that's the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Now you see how different this is than probably what you had in mind as a financial plan and also what the client has in mind when you say the term financial plan. So this is quite different typically, and it involves a lot more people. It involves five subject matter experts plus you. And speaking of the client, do they get to see this? No. And this blows away so many financial advisors. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Your client does not receive a copy of the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. That's right. What are they going to do with it? It's an internal document that your team uses to execute. Now, if I'm being brutally honest, I will say occasionally I will pull it out on the table and plop it down like it's, you know, however many pages it is. It's like, it's just a single spaced, you know, maybe a few charts and graphs. It's not designed for the client to see. And if I've ever shown it to a client at all, which it's probably just a handful of clients who just want to make sure something does exist, I explain to them, this is not for you. This is an internal document. And then what you do is you have your subject matter experts produce reports for the client. So that's what we call the five critical reports. It's a report from each of your five subject matter experts that is I like one pagers. And I like something that allows the client to see that they're on track versus off track. So a one pager. I call these the five critical reports. There should be a critical report from the financial planner. That's actually the GPS. The money management subject matter expert, the insurance subject matter expert, estate planning, tax. They should all have an updated critical report that can be handed to the client at the meetings to assure them that they're on track in each of these five areas. So trust me, the client, when they see the five critical reports from each of the five areas of their personal finances, and especially the GPS, which I'm about to go over in a minute, they think that is the financial plan. I've never had a client ask to see a financial plan after seeing the five critical reports. The problem is it's up to you to work with your subject matter experts to come up with the format of what that looks like. What is the critical report for money management? What is the one-page critical report for estate planning, tax, insurance? So we do have these five critical reports in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. I'm not recommending that you, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit is our flagship program. We created the Advisor Pack monthly program for people that, you know, do want to reinvent the wheel. So for the advisor that is completely committed to our process and they don't want to reinvent the wheel, then they join the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is in essence software. And it creates checklists for your team, and we drive and we train the teams, the subject matter experts, of the advisors in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit program. We train what these critical reports should look like. And frankly, if you submitted a question here to this workshop, this monthly session, and asked me, what do those five critical reports look like? Give me an example. I'd walk right through them. My goal here in the Advisor Pack monthly program, it's for advisors that kind of want to go through and build it themselves. It's a do-it-yourself program. We just show you exactly how we built the Trusted Advisor Toolkit and all the client value and everything that we provide our clients in truly comprehensive financial services. It's just in this Advisor Pack monthly program, it's designed for you to build it yourself. We'd show you everything you ask. So we will answer any question. If you want to see the five critical reports that we use, happy to do that. But this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, not for clients. So if that's the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, then what's the GPS? Okay, good question. As I said, the GPS stands for the greatest probability strategy. It's a step-by-step implementation plan of action updated prior to every client progress meeting. It's one of the 10 deliverables. It's something the client does see. And frankly, of all the five critical reports, this one from the financial planner putting this together, this is what most clients actually think is the financial plan. This one document. So what is it? Well, it's a document. I pulled this right off the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. It's a document. This is the only critical report that's not just one page in length. Because what it is it's the combined recommendations of the entire team. So for this meeting with this client. So the problem with me showing you this example is on the toolkit, I created this example back 10 years ago in 2008. And actually, when I created this sample, I was thinking about it today. all these dates on this example were in the future at that time. This just goes show you how long, you know, this methodology has been successful. So what is the GPS? It's literally just the recommendations from each of the members of the team, but pulled together onto one report and coordinated by the financial planner. So it's the financial planner reaching out to the tax expert and the estate planning expert and so forth and saying, what recommendations do you have for this client at this meeting? Now, the structure of the GPS, what we recommend is, what clients enjoy the most, is three is the recommendations from your team updated for every client meeting, but this report split up into three sections. So let's just add 10 years to all these dates so that it won't seem, so it'll seem more relevant. So these are action items for the year 2008. Let's say it's 2018. So the first section of the GPS is action items due by this meeting. So this is the meeting that we're sitting in. So your team, your financial planner, your team has submitted, these are all the recommendations that need to happen, let's say by July 9th, 2018, in order for this client to remain on track to every financial objective. Okay, so and the better way to say this is, in this first section, this is everything that has to get done between now and the next scheduled meeting. So this means you've got to schedule your meetings like a year out so that you've got the dates. And so these are the list of all the action items that need to get done between July 9th and the next meeting 4 months later, which is, what is that, October? August, September, October, November. So the next meeting is going to be in November. And so that's the first section. The second section is then items that are need to be done by the end of the year. So this would be December 31st, 2018. So if there's anything that needs to be done after the next meeting, but before the end of the year, you list them here. So that's section number two. And then section number three is you literally list every year of the client's life. And this means making every subject matter expert literally think of the lifetime. This is the comprehensive lifetime financial strategy. So on the assumptions page, each subject matter expert is assuming certain things. So notice on here, we've got, if we're adding 10 years to this, what is this, 2024 instead of 2014? So let's say the financial planner is assuming that Ted's Social Security begins on his 70th birthday. Well, that's going to be listed right here, 2024, Ted's Social Security begins Social Security distributions. The process will begin 3 months prior to your 70th birthday. So every recommendation that each of the five subject matter experts have for every year of the client's life, you just list the year and what the action item is. Most of these things come from the assumptions page. And by the way, there may be a little coaching involved here. So your subject matter experts may or may not be accustomed to writing specific recommendations, you know, 10 or 20 years from now. But that's, listen, this is what's going to distinguish you from other advisors. The fact that most advisors and most teams don't do this, we've done the research with the clients. We know what they like. We know what they don't like. This is what they like. They want to see every recommendation from your combined team. That's all five subject matter experts ripped right off of their comprehensive lifetime financial strategy and, you know, documented in terms of language that's implementable. So these are action items. Do this, do that. Okay. So that's the format of the GPS. And that's, in essence, the answer to the question. So now you know the difference between the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy and the GPS. Next question. See how we're doing on time. We have about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I've scheduled a strategic planning session with my entire team in 2 weeks' time. I want us to brainstorm how to add more value to our ideal clients' financial lives. But I want to also set the vision for truly comprehensive services so that everyone on my team is on the same page. Any thoughts? Sure, I've got thoughts. Here's what I tell my team. Here's what it's going to take for delivering on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services. That basically, to deliver on the promise, there's four steps. And here's how we're going to implement the four steps. We're going to build a team. We're going to establish truly or install truly comprehensive financial services. Then we're going to make significant improvements to deliver an extraordinary client experience. And this includes figuring out what the client's expectations are and then consistently exceeding them. And then voila, we're there. At that point, we as a team will become this ideal client's single most trusted advisors. I mean, this is going to require a lot of leadership to go through these four steps on your part, but you can do it. You can deliver on the promise of your advisor pact pledge to each and every client by getting your team to understand these four steps and what we've got to do in order. So that's building a team, building and leading a team of skilled subject matter experts. That's five of them. Delivering truly comprehensive financial services. That's the 10 client deliverables. We have a module and a course on that. Two of them, actually. You're going to deliver on an extraordinary client experience. We have two modules on that. One is called Delivering an Extraordinary Client Experience. The other is called The Hero's Journey, where you work very hard to make these meetings fun for clients so that they want to come meet with you. I mean, this is coming to talk to you is talking about all the hopes and dreams about their financial future. It ought to be fun. And then finally, you need to explain to your team then at that point, you know, I become their most trusted advisor because of the work of our combined team. Now, these are what I think of as the four tactical steps. I want to make sure my entire team is totally on the same page, understanding this is what we're doing, okay? Now, this is in addition to the team goal. The team goal is a goal. These are the tactical steps to achieve the team goal, all right? And if you don't know what the team goal is, ask that question. Contact us through the toolkit, through the Advisor Pack monthly program. I will answer that question in the next monthly session if you want. But the point is, you've got to go through these steps step by step. You cannot skip any of these steps. One of the mistakes I see advisors make is they kind of skip around. Like they don't build their entire team, for example. Like they think, I know there's five subject matter experts, but I've got two. I'll just start moving forward, you know, and expect results with two subject matter experts. No, you've got to build your entire team. So let's go through them quickly, but each one of them. So you're going to build a team of highly skilled subject matter experts. And as you know, there's five subject matter experts, and you're going to implement our 12-step deliverables team recruitment process to fill each of these five vacancies in less than 60 days each, okay? The second step is implementing truly comprehensive financial services. So this is the subject matter experts coordinating all aspects of an ideal client's personal financial affairs. These are the 10 client deliverables, but it often comes from advisors. So potentially, what won't our team do for an ideal client's financial life? Well, if you've set your fee properly, and if you have questions about that, submit those questions, then the answer should be nothing. So truly comprehensive financial services really is the advisor pact promise. It's delivering on that, delivering on truly comprehensive financial services, which is the 10 client deliverables. And then if you've set your fee properly, when a client wants something, there's literally nothing you would not do in their financial life for them. And then the next step is, you know, it's a commitment on your team's part not to be complacent ever. In other words, our team, each of them have committed in very strong terms that they will not stop increasing value to our clients. They won't stop brainstorming, coming up with new ideas. They're not going to sit on their laurels and stop, you know, dreaming up new ways to increase value to clients until we consistently exceed our clients' expectations, we become indispensable to our ideal clients, and all that's measured by the client referral rate. In other words, once I see that our referral rates are consistently increasing, and once we've met the team goal, well, then we can maybe discuss as a team the fact that we've achieved the goal and we are delivering an extraordinary client experience. But I can tell you from personal experience, the process of mastering this idea of delivering an extraordinary client experience is pretty much a lifetime learning experience. It's something that there's always something new to learn. There's always some new value that you can figure out how to provide to clients in a cost-effective, profitable way. Anyway, that's this step. And then delivering on the promise. At that point, when you've done all these other steps, then you've become the most trusted advisor and you've established yourself among all your clients as being indispensable. And how do they know? It's because they tell you they'd be lost without you. So at that point, you're a financial services monopoly. You're the only game in town for what you do for clients who want what you do. There's no shopping around for other advisors. You're the only game in town. You've done it. So I just want to point out that going through these steps, you can do this. And I think it's really important what you're doing to sit down with your team, lay all this out, explain that what the goal is the team goal, but the four tactical steps required to accomplish the team goal are these. Final question is, my compliance department has questions about my new fee. In elevating my service to comprehensive financial services through the Advisor Pack methodology, I'm now raising my fee for ideal clients to $27,000 per year. Good for you. Prior to this, my highest service level was $6,000 plus a percentage of assets under management. So how do I explain such a large jump in compensation to my compliance people? Well, it's really simple. This is not going to take long. Okay, so let's go through it. Your Advisor Pack business structure, it should work like this. You'll be providing two types of advice to every client. The first is investment advice. Now, that's regulated. That's what your compliance department is usually interested in. And they have very little interest in non-investment advice, okay? So I recommend, and what we do and what we recommend our advisors do, is split it up. You've got an agreement for the investment advisory services you'll be doing, and you've got an agreement for the non-investment advisory services that you'll be providing. And think of it as 80-20. So whatever your fee, 20% of your fee is typically investment advice, and 80% of your fee, if you look at the 10 client deliverables, and over on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, I can tell you this with certainty, there's 142 deliverables checkpoints that support the 10 client deliverables over on the toolkit. So we've done the math, and 80% of the effort of completing the 142 client deliverables checkpoints each and every year for each and every client, it's 80% of the effort is non-investment advice, but 20% roughly is. So if 20% is investment advice through your registered investment advisor, broker dealer, whatever, then you could set up your own RIA. A lot of advisors do that, but I don't have a horse in that race. Just basically, the theory is just run 20% of your fee through the RIA and then run 80% of your fee as an outside business activity. And, you know, assuming your RIA or broker dealer allows you to have outside business activities. So you set up an entity for your outside business activity, like an actual LLC or a corporation. You'll decide that with your legal advisor. And you run 80% of your fee through your outside business activity. So you'll be compensated through two separate entities. It's way cleaner for compliance. So if you're being compensated $27,000 a year, then your mission objective is now to deliver on the promise for truly comprehensive financial services, deliver an extraordinary client experience, become indispensable, ensure that when your ideal client walks out of each meeting, they think, wow, that meeting was important. And that meeting was worth $9,000 to me. So think in terms of, by raising your fee that much, that, you know, take $27,000 divided by three and just make sure that each meeting is worth that amount. I'm going to leave you with one parting shot. I'm a couple minutes over, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm putting together a new module for you, and I could use your help. And I've talked about this the last couple of months, but I really am coming close to finishing this course that I'm going to give to you. But I need you, I really could use your help. So my question to you is, are you generating a ton of leads currently to people who want to sit down and discuss doing business with you? In other words, is your schedule always filled with people who want to talk business? Well, the one thing that I learned, believe me, in my 20s when I started this business, I didn't realize that there were three client acquisition projects that I had to master in order to be successful. It's lead generation, the idea of finding people who actually, you know, interacting with people who at the end of the lead generation process, they actually want to sit down and talk business with you. And then there's the lead conversion process, and that's a different process. That's your initial client interview process where, you know, you've got to be compelling, and it's the process of converting a lead, a potential client lead, into an actual paying client. That's a lead conversion process. And of course, what we deal with in the Advisor Pack Monthly program is after you've acquired a client, how do you exceed their expectations to the point, you know, to literally blow their mind to the point that they're flooding you with referrals. So that's the client service project. And the reason I call client service a part of client acquisition is because the Advisor Pack Monthly program will help you generate new clients by exceeding clients' expectations and driving up your client referral rate, okay? But what I'm talking about with this new course is the back at the beginning, this lead generation. So it's really looking at this issue, and it's the number one question or problem that we have financial advisors pose to us. I don't spend a lot of time with it, mainly because I thought there was a lot of training in the industry already for how to generate leads, but apparently not, because nobody's ever beaten my record. I mean, in essence, I, you know, acquired 1,242 clients at a pretty fast clip, and that means I had tons of people who actually wanted to sit down and talk business with me. And then I mastered the lead conversion process and became a lot better at that. And once I cracked that code, then the next 83 clients, I actually disengaged from 1,225 of my 1,242 clients. So I was left with 17 clients. I literally was just starting over completely. And with just 17 clients, the next 83 clients that I acquired, because I set a goal for 100 ideal clients, I jumped my revenue from $388,000 a year from those 1,242 clients to $1.6 million annual recurring revenue from those 100 clients. So, and that was in just 34 months. So it appears to me there is not adequate training on this lead generation piece, this idea of how do you get people to actually want to sit down or inspire people to, you know, want to sit down and talk business with you. So I'm creating a course on that, and I've blogged about it over on my blog. There's this blog post called How I Acquired 1,242 Clients, and I explain, as you may know, that we're about to launch a course. And at the bottom, I ask you, please comment. Please let me know what you think absolutely needs to be in a course like this. What do you struggle with? What are your problems? If there's any obstacles between you and acquiring more clients, what is that obstacle? I want to know, because I'm at the phase of this course where if you want it to be as good as it can be, then it's going to mean you're going to have to tell me what it is that you're needing. So I've got the course already built, but I'm putting final touches on it. And here's the link. I'm going to actually pass this link to you right now through the chat. So I just passed it to you. It's a site that I run called The Mark of Mastery. It's for people that don't know anything about our methodology. It's The Mark of Mastery. Feel free to check it out. But there is a section, if you just remember themarkofmastery.com, that's all you need to remember, because up here at the top, see, there's the blog. So I blog up there, and it's this one blog post called How I Acquired 1,242 Clients. And if you will look at the bottom of that page, like just go to the bottom, scroll to the very bottom of that page, what you're going to find is a place where you can enter comments. So see all these advisors that have already entered comments and told me, Mark, here's what I struggle with. So you're not going to be alone in this. And it would really help. Let's put it this way. The comments that have been late put there already, I've gone in and changed and updated the course based on the comments that I've received. So right here, you just put in your comment, Mark, here's what I struggle with when it comes to client acquisition. And just tell me what it is. Tell me what you think needs to be in a course like this to make it worthwhile to you. And then, put in your... It asks for a name and an email, but let me tell you, nobody ever looks at that. It's the only reason we ask for a name and email is to avoid spam, so people don't just, like robots out there, fill this thing out and send us all these whatever illicit sites and everything. But put in your name. You could put in a fake name. That doesn't matter. You could put in a fake email address if you want. My advice is... put in your real email address. I never look at it, so I'm not going to send you anything as a result, even though most our advisors would like me to send them things. But the point is, if you want, what I tend to do is, if you'll go in there and put what you're struggling with, I almost always go in there and give you the answer and just tell you what's in the course. Like, here's what we're going to recommend. So I could start solving problems for you in client acquisition as soon as you fill out this comment. And if you put in your email address that's correct, then when I respond to your comment, you'll get a little email notice. And it asks for a website. I don't know why we ask for that. It's not required. Just ignore that. Don't have to put anything in there. But your comments would really help make this course on lead generation for financial advisors exceptional. So... just wanted to mention that, and that's it. So that's it for the Advisor Pack monthly session for the month of June. And as always, keep your questions coming. Just look for that Contact Us link on every single page of the Advisor Pack monthly program. And whatever you're struggling with, if you get stuck or need direction, then just let us know, and I will get back with you.